Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 weeks to fitness, episode number 90. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode is brought to you in partnership with O2 Worldwide, creators of O2 Drops Liquid Stabilized Oxygen and Minerals. Studies have shown that disease cannot exist in an oxygenated environment. When you give your body what it needs, the body will heal itself. Try O2 Drops today and feel the difference. For more information, visit www.giveyourbodythebest.com or call 917-523-7379 and learn how O2 Drops can help improve your physical and financial health. Dr. Arabia Millette was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. She grew up in a community plagued with crime and poverty. At the age of 5, Arabia envisioned herself becoming a doctor, but wasn't sure what kind of doctor she'd become. Until two tragedies occurred in her life. At 17, she became a teen mom to a precious baby boy whose life was tragically taken away at 4 months. 6 years later, her youngest sister was shot and killed while riding in a friend's car. Both tragedies caused her to question the doctors about their medical explanations, and it sparked a desire to make a difference in her community. Both times, she was advised by the physicians to become a doctor and put her passion of caring for people to work. Years later, after graduating from Hunter College, completing medical school in Havana, Cuba, and learning to speak Spanish fluently, she completed her residency as an emergency medicine resident physician at Newark Beth Israel Medical Center. And now, as a newly minted emergency physician in Brooklyn, Dr. Arabia Millette now has the opportunity to give back to her community. Because of Dr. Millette's experience and international exposure, she is now ready to offer medical help and advice to people all around the world. She has even launched her own podcast called The Visit with Dr. Arabia Millette. I am pleased to have Dr. Arabia Millette on our 6 weeks of fitness podcast. Dr. Millette, how are you?
I am fine. I'm fine.
Yes, thank you.
Good. I'm happy.
I'm good. Well, you sound happy. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
Thank you. Sorry if you hear me keep clearing my throat, I had a great sandwich. It was a really good sandwich that I had this morning. So I'm actually happy that I finally got to eat something after working yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. I know you have a very busy schedule.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And we're going to talk about that because you have such an amazing story that's taken you from tragedy to triumph. I think my listeners would love to hear about you and what your life was like growing up in the Bronx. So can you share some information about your life in the early stages?
I was born on March 14th in the 80s at the height of the crack epidemic and the AIDS epidemic that ravaged, obviously, the Black community, the Black and Hispanic community, but also nationally widespread as well. Some more hidden than others, as we know. And definitely my family was one of the families that were affected greatly by the crack epidemic, meaning that some went to prison because of it. Some of my family members suffered from using it. Some of my family members were actually born with it in their system. So you can imagine how it all is like a circle. It's just like everybody was affected one way or the other. Even if you weren't using it or if your parents directly weren't using it, still and all, you knew of someone that was a relative or maybe a friend's family member or mother or father that was using it. And so it left a great impression on me and my life, especially my brothers and sisters. And, you know, we went through a lot. You know, we grew up very poor. We grew up very poor. There were times that we didn't have anything to eat. We had watched my own relatives, including my father, suffered from just, you know, overdosing. And it was a lot. It was a lot. It was a lot to endure at such a young age. You know, just being out in the streets and just trying to survive being out in the streets when you don't really have much guidance at home and coming from a dysfunctional family. But I thank God that overall that even though that has happened, that a lot of my family members, including my father, had actually overcome that and got rehabilitated and been off of drugs for over 20-something years.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's so much more to the story. It's just so hard to wrap it up in like 30 minutes or so.
No, I understand. And now what about your mom?
My mother suffered a lot more so from just a lot of mental issues, in the sense of being, you know, she had a hard life as well. Growing up, her childhood was really tough, and then being a single parent, trying to raise all of her kids on her own, it deteriorated her mentality, and I watched her suffer, and I think, you know, to be honest with you, being on the other side as an emergency medicine doctor and realizing that as a community, especially within the Black community, we don't necessarily deal with mental illness in the best way. Oftentimes, we tell people just pray on it and Yes. Leave it up to God. Or, you know, that's just nothing but the devil, or just all in your mind, don't cry. Those are things that are not healthy. And I've watched my mom go through that when people told her the same thing. There's just nothing but the devil, that's all in your mind, and you don't need to cry. But reality is, the truth is that my mother really did need help. And I saw, you know, just, it was a lot of things that she went through and I witnessed. And I witnessed my mom attempted to commit suicide when I was 11 years old. And
wow.
So... that in itself told me that I needed to be stronger, not only for her, but also for my brothers, for my siblings as well. And
yes.
That's what also, part of it, what drove me to want to become a doctor, even though I've always wanted to become a doctor since the age of 5. But that was one of the other things that inspired me to embark on this journey. How I was going to do it, I wasn't too sure.
Nice.
But, yeah, my mom suffered a lot. She's doing excellent now. She went to college later on, and
really?
I just hung out with her last weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we went out for brunch for my sister's birthday.
That's special. Now, how many siblings do you have?
Well, my mother had 4 girls for my mother, and then my father has other children as well, so... a lot of us.
Oh, most definitely. Do you guys get together though? And
oh, yeah,
talk
definitely.
And...
definitely.
Nice. Like I said, from tragedy to triumph. But you said at the age of 5,
exactly.
At the age of 5, though, you knew you wanted to be a doctor. Now, where'd you get that desire? Were you watching medical shows on TV?
No. It's
wow.
Just my situation. My experiences, me growing up in the South Bronx and also my family. Like I said, my family suffering a lot. You know, I didn't, to be honest with you, people assume that the Cosby Show is what inspired me, and actually it didn't. I know everybody, a lot of people, when I say that, they are actually surprised because they automatically assume that's the case, and it wasn't. And part of it was because, for me, the Cosby Show did not reflect on my life growing up. It was actually quite the opposite. We didn't grow up in a brownstone, we grew up in a project.
Yeah.
I grew up in a single-parent household. Both of my parents were in and out of my life as well. So for me personally, just going through a lot, I'm actually watering down, or like they said, a watered down version of my story, because it's a lot. It takes a long time to even get through half of even some of the things that I went through growing up since the age of 2. I always believed that in my heart that one day I would become someone that will provide healing. And the idea of becoming a doctor, or being a doctor, was definitely turning in my heart. I didn't know how I was going to be able to do it, but it happened.
But it
happened.
Wow, that's amazing. And again, this is the condensed version of your story, right?
Yeah, very condensed.
So I get it. And then again, with the tragedy of losing a baby, you know? And
right.
So young, I know. And then a few years later to lose a sister, it's just hard to even imagine dealing with that, the strength that you must have needed to overcome that.
For the most part, the strength, I had no choice but to survive. I had no choice but to survive. That was just the type of household that I was raised in.
Yes.
And again, it was that, you know, leave it to God, or, you know, that's nothing but the devil, or just get over it and keep it moving. That
yes.
was the strength that I got from it. I won't say that it was 100% positive. It helped all the time, but it did give me a chance to not to stay down, to pick myself up, and to be able to help my siblings and do the best that I can to survive in the world that was so harsh, especially towards black children
yes.
at that time. Well, still is, but, you know, at that time with the crack epidemic being such, you know, just destroying so many families. But the strength that I drew from was just the everyday experience, how I was going to be able to survive. I knew that I was going to be somebody important, of importance, right?
Yes.
I knew I was going to be somebody that can provide healing. I knew that I was going to be somebody's mother one day. I knew that I was going to be somebody's wife one day. And it just didn't make sense to me in my little impressionable mind at that time to give up. It just didn't make any sense. Either I can't accomplish goals if my soul is dead, if I'm physically dead. I needed to focus on something that would give me a chance to escape exactly what I was going through, and that was my book. That was education.
Yes.
And so I utilized education to get me to places. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. But I utilized my education to try to get me into places or to gain opportunities to actually advance in my life and to prosper and also to help others as well, especially with my family.
Now, did you have any role models who were doctors before you became a doctor?
No, growing up, no. It's not until college. Not until when I, in college, the only role model that I had, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Samson Davis. He's one of the doctors from the Three Doctors Foundation. They wrote the book,
yes.
PACT.
Yes.
So he's been my mentor since college.
Yes.
And the funny thing was when the book first was published, it was available for the public to buy and to read.
Right.
They had a screening for their documentary.
Right.
At the time, this is when New York City used to have the Urban Film Festivals. I don't know if you remember the Urban Film Festivals they used to have particularly.
Yes, back in the day, sure.
Yeah, exactly, years ago. So they were the first group of people. I won't say they were the first group of people, but they were the first three doctors or in medicine to actually promote their documentary at the film festival. And at the end of their screening, I went up to Dr. Davis and I said to him, "You're my mentor. Your
wow.
book, it feels like your book." I told him, I said, "I read your book three times. I feel like you wrote a book about my life. Part of my life was in your book, but you're my mentor. And from now on, that's it. You're going to be my mentor. So what's up?" Literally, if he was on this call right now, he would tell you exactly that's exactly what I said to him. And he said he was so shocked that I did that. But
yes.
the reason why that he didn't refuse my, my way of telling him that he was going to be my mentor or my request is because I went after what I wanted, and I needed that mentor. I needed someone that is a doctor that come from a community similar to mine. He came from New Jersey. I came from the South Bronx. He went through some certain unfortunate circumstances similar to what I experienced, and he thought that was courageous. And he said, "Why would I deny this young person
exactly.
the opportunity of mentorship? Being a mentor to this young lady, knowing that this is her dream, is to become an emergency medicine physician."
Mm.
And he's an emergency medicine physician. And so after that, he agreed. We exchanged numbers.
Wow.
And since then, still to this day, we still talk. He's going to be mad at me because he texted me, asked me a question. I totally forgot. Now that I'm talking to you, I'm like, God, as soon as I get off this phone call, I got to text him. But he's still my mentor to this day. He's still my mentor to this day.
Amazing what role models, what mentorship can do. Absolutely amazing. So needed, right? So necessary.
Exactly. It's very important to have mentorship, especially for those who are coming from backgrounds that are not traditional. I did not come from a traditional background, meaning the picket fence, the house, two-parent household, working parents.
Yes.
I didn't come from that. I came from the street. Let's just be real.
Let's be real.
I came from the street.
Yes.
And my background is very different to the point where when I was in residency, I didn't really have a real connection with some of my colleagues that were in residency. And so I've always kept my world to myself. Like, I was a doctor or a resident physician at that time while I'm in an emergency room. But after I left the emergency room, I'm a Ravia Millette because my life was different. And I had to accept that, you know, and I think that that's important for those of us who are coming from those backgrounds to have mentorships. I mentor a few people. Sometimes it's hard for me to mentor because of timing.
Yes.
But if you could give an encouraging word or two, if you can you know, call people and at least try to see what you can, you know, if you could get them a job or help them get the job or help them to gain and to obtain an opportunity that will be, I mean, an everlasting dream for them to accomplish, an everlasting goal. That's a part of mentorship. And networking is important. I think a lot of people really, to this day, especially within our community, really don't understand that term networking. It's not about kissing someone's behind. I'm trying to keep it clean. Kissing someone's behind. Yes. It's not about shuffling and driving. It's not about that. It's about, listen, I'm learning from you. I may not get paid right now, but this is an experience. All of that is experience. Internship is experience. And being under the people that can direct you, whether you get paid or not, whatever. That's here to say. But it's just important to surround yourself with people, like-minded people, or people that you aspire to be. But, you know, yeah, it's. I guess my generation is a little different, but I just find it's a little difficult right now with this current generation. And I kind of understand why, but we have to get back to that and reach out as much as possible.
Oh, most definitely. So what would you say to a young child who, like you, you know, want to be something, something special, someone important, someone of value when they get older and don't have the family support to help him or her towards that goal or path?
So it's so funny because I didn't feel like I've always had the support, but I had to surround, again, be open to change, be open to being around different people.
Yes.
Whether it be people that look like you or not, doesn't matter. People that will be willing to listen to you, people that will be willing to help you along the way, people who will give you constructive criticism so you can improve. Like, every day I'm still getting constructive criticism. There's certain things about myself that I still need to work on. Even my way of speaking, I have to improve. And I don't mind that because this is for, it's to advance. You understand? It's for your best. It's to advance. It's to prosper. It's to influence. It'll make an impact on other people. So I say that to those who may not have a family support, it is out there. It's definitely out there. It's up to you to take advantage of that in a good way and hone that. Respect it. Be grateful for it. Understand it's going to be hard, but it doesn't, and it's a part of discipline. Just because it doesn't go your way the first time doesn't mean that you give up. And I think that's the issue right now, that I'm seeing a lot of people just give up very easily, and I don't understand why, but just don't give up and be around people who are going to be around people who are like-minded. Now, I say that to say because that's how gangs are formed. They're around like-minded people. They're going to do the same things. They're going to walk the same way. They're going to talk the talk. It's the same. It's almost the same concept. But this time, I'm just saying for the positive side of it, if you aspire to become a doctor, you have to be around those who are willing to become doctors or be around doctors. If it's your own primary care doctor that you have, ask your primary care doctor, can you come into the clinic and be an intern, whether it be filing papers or answering telephones and things like that. You're around somebody that you aspire to be like. You understand? There's ways of doing. Yes. You just have to talk and be open.
Yes. Do you hold any talks to kids who are, you know, in high school?
I'm supposed to. Starting in March, I'm supposed to. I'm not shy to talk in front of people. I have to prepare because I know that my life story is so graphic and tragic. It's like I'm kind of afraid. I don't know. It's just like I'm a little nervous about telling my story sometimes. You understand? Because of the age of these children. And
yes,
it's depressing. You understand? Like my life story is depressing and it's sad and it's tragic, but I want them to gain something from it and not look at it in that way. And look at it as a success story.
Exactly. Because again, you're coming from a background, or you started out in a tragic situation, but look, you rose beyond that. And that's what everyone needs to hear and see, that there is success. Success can come from any place. You have something to offer to children so that they can be better than what they see around them.
And listen, I'm very transparent. Like, there's nothing about me that Dr. Millett will hide about herself. I will tell you that I have fears of this. I will tell you that I'm not afraid of that. I will tell you that I have certain flaws about myself that I must work on to improve and to be a better person every day. I've made plenty of mistakes. I failed exams. I failed in other areas, plenty of, you know, in other areas as well. I'm not perfect. And being, I think people have this misperception about what a doctor is like. I think that everybody, you know, a doctor is obnoxious and think they, he or she is better than everybody. And that's not true. That's absolutely not true. You need, you'd be surprised. There are a lot of doctors out there that are caring, that actually come from backgrounds that are similar to mine, and they want to help. But again, we, as far as Black physicians are concerned, we only represent 2% of the physicians overall in the United States. So I can understand, you know, maybe that's the reason why people have this misconception of what a doctor is like.
Yes, we need more. We need more of you. That's what it is, you know? We need more. Kids need to see more doctors who look like them. That's so, so very important. Tell my listeners, what exactly does the emergency physician do? What does your day look like?
So pretty much a day for an emergency medicine physician, it varies. Okay. It's never the same.
Right.
You know, you have certain days that the emergency department is really busy. You have certain days that it's not so busy, but it's still busy. It consists of various things, people coming in with in cardiac arrest, heart attack, stroke, shot, stab, possibly rape, beating up. I mean, it's a lot. There is a lot that goes on. And then you have some that actually come in by ambulance with mental disorders as well that may have went AWOL and try to hurt themselves or try to hurt others as well. And that could be very challenging in the emergency room. And also, I'm an adult and pediatric emergency medicine doc, so I see both sides.
Wow.
And even for pediatric emergency medicine, it could be difficult as well. But nobody likes to, you know, see babies hurt or sick. And so you, not only that you're dealing with children, you're also dealing with the parents of the children, and you have to calm them down while you're taking care of their children.
Mm-hmm.
And so it varies day by day. I know yesterday was definitely a difficult shift that my staff and I had. It was very busy.
Yes.
A lot of people came in sick. Some people I had to intubate, meaning I had to put a tube down their throat in order for us to preserve their respiratory system.
I see.
And so it was a lot. It was hectic. A lot of broken bones.
Mm.
Some people came in with shoulder dislocation, like the shoulder out of socket.
Yes.
So yeah, it's difficult. It's challenging, but you just never know what could come through that door, and just know you just have to prepare as much as possible.
Yeah, so definitely not for the faint of heart, for sure. Amazing.
Right, right.
Amazing.
It's not what they make it seem like on television, to be honest with you. I know on TV they make it seem like the music come on and the dramatic music and you know, everybody saves the day and that person's life was saved, but sometimes that's not the case. There have times where people actually die.
Yes.
And not because of negligence, not because of me or negligence of my staff or myself, but more so because there was nothing else that could be done to save that person's life. So,
I see.
And it affects all of us.
Oh, definitely, man. Now, what are some of the main health issues that you come across, though, when it comes to dealing with people in the community? What are the main
everything.
Issues?
Everything.
Really?
I can't, it's everything from mental illness to STDs to, like I said, to cardiovascular disease, to strokes, to, I mean, it's everything. It's everything. It's not really one particular thing. It's just pretty much everything.
Would you say that most of these illnesses or diseases are preventable?
There are some that are. I mean, there are folks, there are people who come into the emergency department with diseases that are preventable. There are some that come into the emergency department that are congenital, that were actually born with certain diseases that led to other diseases as well. There's some that are autoimmune. And so those are diseases that are beyond our control that we can't really take care of. That we can't really prevent. But we can try to take care and prevent complications, not necessarily from the emergency physician, but more so for primary care and other specialists that are involved in the patient's case. We deal with more with just the emergency aspect of those complications once they come to our emergency room.
Oh, I see. But now let's talk about your podcast, Dr. Millett. You know, it's called The Visit with Dr. Arabia Millett. What can my listeners expect to see or hear on your show?
So So The Visit is a podcast show that deals with, that will actually focus on wellness, giving medical advice, whether it be from mental health to physical health, and just talking to everyday people. I think, like I said, it's also to break down those barriers of what a doctor looks like. Yes. I think oftentimes when people come, when they come to the emergency room and they see who is my doctor, they always say, who's my doctor? When I come up to them and I approach them, they're surprised that they see a black woman, a young black woman that is their doctor.
Mm.
Oftentimes people, especially even in our community, believe it or not, they expect somebody older and white.
Yes.
And so The Visit will actually expose that and let people know, listen, there are people that look like you who are similar to you as well, but it is not only just for the black community, but just to let the world know, internationally and nationally, let them know that there are various types of doctors who come from all spectrums, come from all different backgrounds, and that are relatable. And that's me, that's Dr. Ruby Miller. I'm very relatable to a lot of people, whether you come from the hood or not, whether you come from the streets of the Bronx to maybe to the suburbs of Connecticut. There's some way down the line I'm still going to be relatable to you and be able to help you to get to the next point, whether through the podcast show or whether it's actually coming to the emergency room. And that's why it's called The Visit.
Is this a one-hour show?
About 40 minutes. It's approximately 40 minutes.
Okay, 40 minutes. And this is a video, not audio, like this particular program.
So it's both audio and video.
Both audio and video. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And is it a live show or is it taped?
It's going to be taped.
It's going to be taped. Okay. And has it started airing already?
Well, it will air. I can't say the date just yet, but it will air soon. It definitely is. So we already did the first podcast show already with a celebrity fitness trainer by the name of Nicole Chaplin. And we did one so far. So there's a bunch that's lined up that will be launching soon. So as soon as I get word back from my team, then everything will just be put on blast so you guys can enjoy it and interact with me.
Oh, okay. Oh, excellent. Excellent. So you bring on guests. So it's not just you talking. So that brings.
Right.
All right. So that's excellent. What type of guests do you have besides fitness trainers?
Well, it's going to be it's so many different people. I can't say just yet who
okay.
are the guests.
Yes.
But it is from very, like you said, from the celebrity fitness trainer that we had already to people, even specialists, business specialists as well, depending on the topic, even people who are not necessarily doctors, but they are in the community, well, they are out there doing, you know, something in health. But everything depends on the topic and the theme. So you'll see, there'll be some surprise guests.
Nice, nice. Now, you mentioned topics. What topics do you discuss or have you decided yet?
So, like, for example, for the celebrity fitness trainer, we focus more so on why people give up on their New Year's resolution.
Oh, important.
And that was a big thing because usually everybody at the end of the year, they would say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Yes.
And when 2017 come around, this is
yes.
going to be my year. And
oh,
now
yeah.
it's 2017 and
yep.
people are still doing the same thing that they did a few years ago.
Exactly.
And so, especially
yep.
when it comes down to fitness. So that's what we have focused on for that particular segment.
Wow. So how will you market your show?
Oh, I have a team. I got a great team.
Oh,
you have
a team. Nice. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yep, I have a team.
Nice.
Definitely have a good team. Yep.
Now, how can my listeners find your show?
Oh, they can find me at, they can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. They also can follow me on my website at www.drarabiamolette.com. For the Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, it's at Dr. Arabia Millett. So I'm very easy. Trust me, you can find me.
I believe you. And the name Arabia, that's,
mm-hmm.
Besides Saudi Arabia, I mean, come on, you know, that is so unique.
Yeah, exactly.
That is great.
Thank you.
Dr. Arabia Millett. And okay, and you gave out your social media. Basically, they can follow you on Facebook. What about Twitter?
Twitter as well, at Dr. Arabia Millett. Yep.
Okay, perfect. Is there anything else, doctor, that you would like to share with my listeners?
I just want to let everybody know that, you know, life is hard. It's hard for everybody, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, I don't even think economics. In this case, I'm going to take away the economics, the financial aspects of it. I think life is hard and journaling, because we all struggling with different things in our lives. And whether it be the physical illness, whether it be mental illness, I just want to let you know that don't be bounded. Don't be so limited by the things that you're struggling with. There's help out there. There's a lot of help out there. Don't think that you are alone. You can certainly reach out to me on social media. I can also refer you to others that are specialized in certain areas as well that you may need the help in. And also, we are as a community, we have to be a lot more supportive to those who are suffering from mental illness and not negate the fact that this plagues our community. As you can see, more and more every day, we're hearing about cases where people are hurting their children. They may have committed suicide. And sometimes those signs and those symptoms are right in front of us, and we tend to ignore it. Do not ignore those signs. Also, in life, I just want to let you know that I, too, have suffered from depression growing up. But I got tired of suffering from depression, so I went to go seek help myself, and that's by seeking a counselor. There's nothing wrong with seeking counseling. You're not crazy. It just means that you are taking upon yourself to take care of yourself, and you're doing the most godly thing that God would want you to do is by you taking care of yourself. And I hope that all your dreams, everything that you aspire to be, anything that you would like to accomplish in life, I pray that the resources are there for you so that you can make your dream into a reality. God never gives you a vision without the resources, and always believe in that.
Mm, so well said. Thank you so much. That was very powerful. You're welcome. Dr. Arabia Millet, on behalf of Body Sculpt of New York and 6 Weeks to Fitness, I really want to thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. I wish we could talk longer. I really do. Like I said, my whole life story is just, it'll take like years to get through. It'll take a book and make some coffee and a glass of wine to sit down and a bunch of tissues. But, God is good. And I think each and every one of us will learn from each other's stories.
Oh, most definitely. And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for my show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.